Amen, everybody. You guys all can see me? I know I'm just as tall as this podium, but that's all right. I asked the Lord one time, Lord, how come you made me so short? I heard, everything I make is good, perfect. Amen. Amen. So, praise God. You may sit down. I want to thank you for everybody tonight for coming. I want to thank my sister Mary and Ian. Thank you for coming tonight. Good to see Ian and Mary, right? Yeah. Amen. And the rest of my family. Well, all of you is my family, but praise God. We're forever eternal family. Amen. Okay. You know what? I'm a little bit nervous, but not because in front of you, but because it's like an honor nervous, you know? Honor that I'm able to speak the word tonight, and I really don't want to make a mistake, you know? I mean, we are allowed to make mistakes, but you know what I mean? I want to honor tonight, so that kind of nervous, yeah? Well, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. Again, you have been acknowledged, Holy Spirit, but I personally want to acknowledge you tonight because without you, every word that I will speak tonight will be just words. But with you, I thank you that I would be able to speak words of encouragement, words of putting the situation above because of the word that has been spoken. So I thank you that you are welcome here tonight, in Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever asked your spouse something like this? Honey, where do you want to go eat tonight? Because I prefer you first, you know. And then she go, I don't know, wherever you want to go, right? And then I say, okay, let's go so and so and so. Except beside that, I don't want to go over there. Have you guys been there? Yeah, praise God. So, my title for tonight's service is Consider God's Word. Amen. Let me get my Bible here. Let's turn to Genesis, chapter 3. And you guys know about this. I mean, we heard this so many times. Let me just start in verse 1. King James Version. Okay. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, had God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall surely not die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Okay? And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took off the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Amen. So God commanded Adam, okay, not to eat the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, right? So, in verse 4, the serpent said unto the woman, you shall surely die. Yeah? So, I'm getting ahead of myself. That the woman, instead of him going to the Adam first, he went to the woman, yeah? So up to that time, God has been protecting them from knowing what is good, I mean, what is evil, yeah? So she took off its fruit, and then she ate, okay? And then, knowing that Adam has been commanded by God that he is not supposed to eat the fruit, but then she ate it, yeah? And then nothing happened, right? Nothing happened at that time, yeah? So here comes Eve saying to the husband next to her, I can just imagine, he said, honey, you gotta eat this fruit. It is so good, you know. It's so good. And then they'll go, oh, no, we're not supposed to eat that. No, honey, come on. You got to taste it. Look, nothing happened to me. Look, you know, nothing happened to me. So you got to eat this fruit has been, is different from all the other foods that we've been eating. Yeah? So finally, Adam's, okay. Then he partook. And then the Bible said, as soon as he partook of that fruit, both eyes were open. Yeah. So, it just tells me, men, that we as husbands, we are more liable than the rest of the family. Because we are the doorway, man. We are the doorway of our family. We are the one who's in authority spiritually in our family. Yeah. Yeah, so as soon as he ate, the eyes of the two of them were open, and the Amplified said that their awareness has increased. Yeah, they begin to know what is good and what is bad, and then that's when fear came, that's when sin came. Yeah. You know, that which was immortal became mortal. Yeah, they were to live forever, yeah, but because of that sin, then that which was immortal became mortal, and now they are subject to die spiritually and physically, amen. So guys, remember that we are more liable. The consequences are we allow and what we don't allow in our family. Yeah. Take that to heart. See, Adam did not forget God's command, okay? But he didn't consider God's command. He considered the woman, the wife. And you know what? Actually, the voice of this wife has been considered, and he listened to a deceived voice instead of God's voice. He considered her first. Amen? So, yeah. You know, I don't know if my wife ever remembered this, but I had this conversation with her at one time because this was kind of convicting me. Because it happened to be at least a couple times. So when I plan to going out somewhere, whether, you know, going out for movies or eat, and of course she went, okay, yeah, let's go. And we're in it. Our hearts are in it. And then we get ready, and then we're going, yeah? And then all of a sudden, I get this check on my heart. And I heard, you know, I would rather have you not go there. But you know what? I did not listen to that, and I just went go ahead, and I got convicted that kind. Yeah, But you know what? If we should yield to that, I know maybe our spouse might get mad, but you know what? The consequences of obeying that voice inside is greater than the consequences of your spouse getting mad. I mean, the blessing is be way greater. Yeah? So we consider God's command. We consider that voice. Amen? Yeah. We value the obedience. Obedience will trump over the consequences of the outcome of your changing your mind. Amen? Okay. Romans 4. Am I making sense? Romans 4. Okay, this is about Abraham. We've been reading about Abraham for a while now. We've been mentioning Abraham for a while, but so I've been reading up on him. So it says, King James Version again. It says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead, and call it those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believe in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Notice in verse 17, yeah, says that before Abraham was even a father, God had made him already a father of many nations. Before anything happened, yeah, before he fathered Isaac, God had already called him to be a father of many nations. Amen. You know, this is reference to Genesis 17:5. Yeah. Let me just read you that. Genesis 17:5 says, neither shall thy name anymore be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. Amen. Okay, so he said, as it is written, verse 17, I have made thee a father of many nations before him who he believed, even God who quickened the dead. You know, remember when God asked Abraham that, you know what, I want you to sacrifice your Isaac, your promised son. That's why I believe that Abraham was so willingly sacrificed Isaac because he believed God would raise him from the dead. Yeah. And in those days, you know, when they sacrifice animals like that, they would not just raise the knife and just puncture. No. Yeah, they for kill them, but then after that, they cut them in half and spread it. And let the blood run down. So when God told Abraham to sacrifice his son, I believe he had that thought in his mind that that's how he would sacrifice Isaac. But knowing that God can raise him from the dead, because he says here that even God who quickened the dead. See, that's how much he believed God. That's how much his relationship with God. I can just see that Abraham and God would just enjoy each other, you know? I mean, Abraham believed God. I mean, he just enjoyed all the benefits that he can believe God for. And God, he just enjoyed, you know, Abraham knowing that, oh, he believed me. I love him. He's my friend, you know? I believe him. And then, yeah, so I just can see God just enjoying himself, you know? Yeah. See, Abraham wasn't paying attention to his emotions when he was asked that, yeah? He wasn't paying attention to his feelings, what was in his mind, yeah? But he was focused on what God asked him to do. He considered God's command. Amen. He considered him, not what he was thinking, you know, what things that he was going into his mind. But no, he trusted God. You know, God, if I'm going to do this, that is my promise. And I believed you. And he came forth. You, when you told me that, you know, I will bring forth a son, that I will be a father of many nations, but now you're asking me for sacrificing. Okay, I will. I'm willing, because I know that you can raise him from the dead. Amen? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. I'm not going to listen to the outside, what my mind is telling me, but I'm going to listen to what's inside, because I believe you. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. See, so he quickened the dead and called it those things which be not as though they were. That is so good. Remember, I think Pastor Herman when asked one day when he was preaching, what is your definition of faith? Yeah. And then some would say, you know, believing God or acting on his word, yeah. Or they would quote Hebrews 11:1. That now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But one of the biblical definition of faith is right here. God call it those things which be not as though they were. Yeah? Amen. And you know what? What did the Bible call us? The just shall live by what?
Faith.
By faith. So, it's safe to say then that faith is we, for the just, shall call it those things which be not as though they were. Yeah? Amen. Amen. That's what we should be doing. We're calling those things. See, faith has a voice, yeah, Elizabeth? Yeah? Faith has a voice. So we call those things which be not as though they were. Yeah? That's what faith is. Okay? When I was doing this, oh, this is good. Here, verse 18. Who against hope believe in hope that he might become the father of many nations? Okay? So, In verse 17 says, God had made. He made Abraham, okay? So, what are you made of? Yeah? What are we made of? We have been made in the image of God, right? After his likeness, yeah? So, God had made us into his likeness. God has made us into not sickly. Not borrowing money all the time. Not fearful. God didn't make us that way. Yeah? So, verse 18 says, who against hope believe in hope that he might become? So, God had made us so that we might become. Yeah? So that we might become. You know what you're made of? Well, you know what? Our pastors have been telling us Sunday after Sunday, Wednesdays after Wednesdays, when we come here, you know. So if you don't know, you should come to church. Amen. You don't know, we should come to church so that we may know who we are, what we are made of. Amen. Yeah. Because sometimes we forget, actually, sometimes what we are made of. Yeah. But then even when we know what we are made of, we still have to become that, because Abraham had become. Yeah. See, God made us to be wealthy, to be prosperous, to be rich. But brother said, we're blessed. Yeah? Amen. So Abraham became the father of many nations because he was not being weak in faith. He considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Amen. Can you imagine, you know, being 100 years old, you know, God tells you that you're going to be a father of many nations? I mean, that is hard to fathom, you know. That is hard to fathom. I mean, God had to place Abraham in a place where he could believe him, you know. I don't think so he automatically believed God. I believe God had to take him to a place where he really could believe God. Hey, look at the stars. As many as you can count, that's how much your family is going to be. Look at the sands on the earth. Yeah? That's how much. And then he named him Abraham. Hey, Abraham, father of many nations, you know? So that's the steps that he had to take. Yeah? It's just like us, step by step, you know? From faith to faith, we grow. Yeah? Amen. You know, faith in itself is great. Yeah? Faith in itself is great. Just, you know, how much you can believe. Yeah. You know, we go through what we go through for a long time because we're constantly paying attention to it, okay? For example, okay, there's a lot of example, but I chose one of the main ones, yeah? Offense. Isn't that the target, the mark? Offense. Amen. You know, when we pay attention so much of that offense, my goodness, there is no peace. Yeah? Offense is a fiery dart. Yeah? It's an arrow. When an enemy shoot that arrow and coming towards you, we're supposed to pull up our shield of faith, right? Like James, yeah, I know he preached about that. Yeah? But then, you know, when we don't do that and it lands on our heart and we don't quench it right away, that fire is going to spread. That fire is going to spread. And will not only affect just one place in your area, in your life, it's going to affect the whole area in your life. Yeah? It's going to affect your marriage, your relationship. It's going to affect your finances. It's going to affect your health. Yeah. If you don't deal with that. See, that's... Oh, man. Okay, this is family, right? So, yeah. I mean, that's the reason why such precious families lives because of offense. Come on, you guys know that. But, you know, our pastors still say that again and again and again. Even the pastors, our previous pastors, that the offense, you know, don't take offense. Yeah, when offense comes, ooh, that hurt, you know. But if we allow that to stay, yeah, it's going to spread. But we're supposed to just, initial impact, you can feel it. But you have the choice. You have the choice. Yeah? You either gonna take that offense and let it live in you, or you just quench it. Yeah? Yep. It's gonna spread because you pay attention to it. It's gonna spread because, you know, every time, I don't know, whatever, who offended you or what offended you, every time it shows up, oh, you magnify it. And you put in more fuel. Yeah? Yeah, that's like I said, you know, that's why we don't see all this precious church families anymore. You know, talking about paying attention or feeding, you know, when you feed things, they stay. Yeah, you know, we our neighbor, they had a couple stray cats. Yeah, and so I guess they was feeding them. Then you know they go. But each time they go back, oh, they get fed again. So finally, I guess those cats go, you know what? We're just going to stay here already. We're just going to stay here. So because they're going to feeding us. Yeah? So they stayed there. And finally, they decided to become like Abraham, the father of many cats. Father of many cats, and you get so much cats in our neighbors now. And you know, we do have rats, you know, in our neighborhood. Yeah. So I figure when that much cats around, you know, they wouldn't be around. But you know what? They still get rats, you know. I've caught some big grandfather kind rats already. So I guess when I see that, I guess those cats just almost as big as so maybe they're scared. But yeah, that's what happens when we feed, they stay. Yeah. And like I said, they multiply. They multiply. Okay. 2 Corinthians 4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Okay? Casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Yeah? And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Okay? Then Ephesians 6:16 says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fire darts of the wicked." Okay? So, going through trials and tribulations is a part of being a believer. He's right, yeah? Jesus said that in this life, in this world, you shall have tribulations, yeah? But in me, you shall have peace. He said, "I give you my peace. Not as the world give it. It is my peace that I'm going to give you." Yeah? But going through trials is supposed to make us stronger. Yeah? Our faith should become stronger. You know, Pastor said, I think this past Sunday he mentioned that when we are in the valley, God is with us. We're on top of the mountain, God is with us. Okay? And I was right there when he was talking about that, and you know, I heard God says, you know what? Being in a valley is where you see my power. Not necessarily on a mountaintop, but in the valley. That's where you see me works. That's where you see me works. You see my power. Power of deliverance. Yeah? Because on the top, you don't need that already. Yeah? That is the reward of being in a valley. Amen. But in a valley, that's where we become strong. Yeah? That's where like in the military. Yeah? You get your training. Yeah? And then that's how it is in the kingdom of God. In a valley. Way down in the valley. I heard a lot of noise. In a valley, it's a lot of noise. Yeah? You hear all kinds, you know, especially when you go into a staff, you know, this and this and this and that. But when you consider the word of God, yeah, that is a safe place. That is a very safe place. You know what? I'll share this. Our pastors, okay? They experience being in a deep valley. Yeah? But in that valley, they experience the mighty power of God. Amen. You know, can you imagine if they started to pay attention? Can you imagine, pastors, if you just, you know, pay attention to what the voices coming into your mind when you're looking at your daughter being that situation, and what the doctor is telling you guys, you know, if you have considered all that, probably Kalika wouldn't be here. And you know what? You guys might not be even our pastors. Yeah? There's a possibility. Yeah. So, but thank God that you guys had a refuge in a place called consider. You consider God's word first, yeah? You did not consider what was going on in your mind. You did not consider what the doctor said. You did not consider what she's going through. Yeah, but you consider God's word. Amen. That's what I call great faith. You know, great faith, how you get great faith? Is when you get great opposition, when you go through some situations. Yeah? Yeah. No, Jesus said that by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. According to 1 Peter 2:24, yeah? You know, I shared the other Wednesday, one Wednesday night when Pastor Herman was speaking, that I shared about my testimony about my headache, you know, going to McKenna. And then on my way there, that I just felt that, you know what, I'm going to come against this headache. I'm going to declare the word of God. Okay, I'm going to consider his word instead of what I'm feeling. And so I spoke the word. And then by the time I got there, I forgot about my headache because it was gone. But when I got there, that's when I noticed, oh, I don't have a headache anymore. So that Wednesday, when Pastor was speaking concerning healing, the word of God, you know what? I took that word because I had situation on my shoulder for a long, long time. Yeah, I couldn't lift up. I couldn't even do this. Yeah? So I took that word, applied my situation. And I go like this. Oh, wow. You know? So, but is it because I don't feel that anymore, that I'm healed? Huh? Is it because, you know? Yeah. No, we are healed because we consider God's word, not how we feel, not how my body is feeling. You know, We do exercise here. Yeah. And then there are times that, oh, I feel good, you know. I feel really good. I feel like 20 years old, you know. So come on. Yeah, let's do it though. You know, I feel good today. My body feels good. I can do this, you know. Yeah. That's not when I'm feeling healed. No. Because the word of God says that we are healed whether we feel it or not. Amen. Amen. Oh, I lost my train of thoughts now. Amen. So, you know, Pastor, I actually on my work, my line of work, okay, I troubleshoot, okay? And then when they call me, oh, you know what, one of the units, which is golf carts, okay? I fix one of those carts. God, our carts is not, you know, something wrong with it. So I go, and then I get this gadget that I can see what's going on, plug them into the computer, and then when I press the throttle, I can see the percentage of the throttle going like this, from 1% to 100%. And then when I come to like 50%, the thing goes back to 30, 40. So it goes back and forth. And then sometimes it would not reach 100%. So it fluctuates, yeah? You know what? Our body fluctuates, yeah? Our bodies fluctuates, yeah? You could be feeling good at one day, feeling healed that one day, you know. I'm strong and way I can leap through a troop, and I mean leap over a wall and run through a troop. But sometimes go, oh, I don't wanna go to work. Ain't that right? Sometimes we yield to but you know what? God's word is always the truth. It's always. See, the fact of the matter is, yeah, you get pain. Yeah. You get pain. Yeah, that's facts. Yeah. But God's operate in truth. Yeah. So the world fluctuates. But the word of God established forever in heaven. Yeah. It's forever established. Yeah. Yeah. So the world operates in facts, but God operates in truth. Okay? Amen? Yes. So, Abraham, became the father of many nations. He had become, yeah, because verse 19 says, "It being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb." Okay, she didn't even consider Sarah, her womb. You know what? God gonna take care of her. I mean, I'm not gonna even worry about my wife. I know she's just as old as me, but God gonna take care. Yeah? God gonna take care. You know? How many times that we hear, you know, you believing for yourself, yeah? Believing for yourself, and you see a brother, you know, who is supposedly mighty in faith, or prays a lot, you know that he prays a lot, you know that he's always on his word, but something happened to him, yeah? And then, you know, here you are witnessing that, and you compare yourself, oh, you know what, if he didn't come through, then who am I? Who am I that should come through? I mean, look, he prays a lot, you know? You know, even preaching in a pulpit, and you know the anointing is on him. Yeah, and we compare ourselves to that kind of situation, but you know what? We should not. We should not compare people's experiences because you don't know what's going on in their lives. We don't know, but you yourself, yeah, you stand. You consider God's word. See, consider is such a it's such a place of safety. You know, it just kind of make me believe more easy. You know, I don't have to understand. All I have to do is I'm not gonna consider that. I'm gonna consider God's word. You know, I choose. I'm not even gonna pay attention to what's going on. I'm just gonna pay attention, put my attention to God's word. Yeah, God said to attend to my word. Yeah, attend to my word. Pay attention to my word. Yeah. So, yeah, praise God. So he doesn't even worry about concern about Sarah. Okay, so he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Yeah. But was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded. See, sometimes we don't receive because we are not fully persuaded. See, we might be persuaded, you know, for a little while, but when things doesn't turn out the way we think, and we know this, then sometimes we kind of allow the unbelief to sneak in, and that's the reason why that we don't receive. Yeah, but Abraham, he was fully persuaded, yeah, that what he had promised, he was able all to perform, which is God. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. You guys receive? Praise God. Well, that's what I got. Amen. So yeah, I hope that, you know, you guys got encouraged. You guys are received something that is not just words just floating around or falling on the ground, but it is landed in, you know, in a good ground of your heart. Yeah. Praise God.